welcome to Inside the Banjoverse. I am your host, Enda Scahill, coming to you from a very warm Galway city. I've got the window open here. There's a lovely breeze blowing in. I've just finished this interview with Maureen Fahey. She's just an incredible person, a brilliant fiddle player with an extraordinary career, and I know that you're going to enjoy this interview. Before I get started, a big shout out to all the patrons of the podcast. And if you would like to be a supporter, you can head on over to patreon.com/EndaScahillBanjo. And you never know, you might be inspired to pick up the banjo and the mandolin. Let's jump straight in to a wonderful conversation with the brilliant Maureen Fahey.
Yes, and a
very famous fiddle player, Riverdance, Real Time, which I know was a very successful band, Furry Village.
That's right.
Am I missing anything?
I have them all. Temple House Cayley Band.
I didn't know that one.
Yeah, I was in Temple House Cayley Band for, I don't know, about maybe 5 years or whatever. Yeah, yeah. Oh, that was a brilliant Cayley Band, I have to say. Yeah, that was back in the... If I start talking about dates, 80s, 90s, whatever. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we did all the Cayleys and stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Kieran and Paul and Mick Gaynor, Seamus Meehan, Paul Roach, Kieran Hanrahan, and Mary Corkin on the piano, and myself.
Also a little bit of Stockton's Wing.
Oh, Paul and Kieran
yeah.
were in that, yeah. They were, yeah.
I didn't realise that.
Yeah, yeah, we did that for maybe... I was there for about maybe 4 or 5 years, and then I joined Riverdance, so I had to... I went off with Riverdance then. But we used to have great Cayleys, especially during the Willie Clancy Festival down in the Armada. And I tell you, you have to be fit for playing for dancers. Unbelievable. I mean...
It's completely different, isn't
it? It's very enjoyable with the speed. And as soon as you're finished a full set, you're thinking, geez, I made a great job of that. And it's like, what's next? And you're kind of going, hold it a second, take your time. But it was just, it's a great time, yeah. And the band was so, it was great fun, great music.
A full set is a good... length of time playing, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it could be like 20 minutes. It depends on the set. Do you know what I mean? And I tell you, you have to know your P's and Q's.
They don't want breaks.
No, they don't. Yeah. It's an amazing workout, both for the musician and for the dancer, to be honest with you. And was it Tom Cusson was actually telling me, who was telling me that how they measured how good a Cayley band was how many times you had to change your T-shirt because you sweated so much when you were dancing?
The dancers would...
Yes!
You know what a set dancer's cocktail is?
What?
It's a pint of water with ice and lemon.
Oh, right.
That's what the pubs would kind of, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's the Temple House, yeah.
So where are you from originally?
I'm from Ballinakil, which is southeast Galway, 10 miles from Loughrea, going towards Clare. And there are four in the family, Ger, Ter, Yvonne and myself. And of course, we all played music. My mum is Bridie White. And my aunt was Eggy, so there was always music with us in the house. And my other aunt, Eva, then was the singer and the storyteller as well, yeah. So
huge musical heritage.
There was a lot of music, I have to say, yeah, when we were growing up. And my dad, then, you see, no more than your dad, he was the master, he was the teacher, do you know what I mean, in Ballinakil. And he was great for producing shows, even if it was the Christmas concert at the primary school. But then when we moved into secondary school, he actually organised Scurryocks and, you know, Mummer's Failures in Woodford and all of that. And we actually did a tour of England when we were about 14 years of age. And we went around to all the Irish centres. So we had music, song and dance. So that was our first, probably our first taste of touring.
Wow.
And
so
it was great.
So who taught you the fiddle?
Mary Lines, Mary Donoghue. You know, the Donoghue Cayley Band of many, many years ago. She was one of my teachers. And also my aunt Aggie. So I went to Mary, Mrs. Lyons. She was an amazing lady. I mean, at the time, she was able to teach me, say, the fiddle. She was able to teach somebody else the accordion beside me. And while she'd be listening to me, she was able to handwrite all the music of the next person. And it was so neat, all the manuscript. It was amazing what she was able to do. So she taught me, and so did Aggie, and of course, Mam as well, Bridie. Yeah, so
I don't know Bridie White as a name, but I obviously, Aggie White is very, very well known. Just talk a little bit about Aggie and Bridie.
Yeah, so... Basically, my grandfather was Tommy White, and he was one of the original founders of the Ballinakil Cayley Band. And then he had four daughters, and one unfortunately died when she was 12 and a half. Maureen was her name. And then he had three other daughters, Aggie, Bridie Eggy, Eva and Bridie. So Eggy started, a priest came to Ballinakil, his name was Father Larkin, and he was mad into music. And he encouraged Tommy, my grandfather, to maybe get Eggy to play the fiddle, that she might be okay. So anyway, she was 12 when she started learning, which was pretty old, really, for somebody to start learning a new instrument. So she started learning when she was 12 years of age. So then, of course, Mam did. And, you know, that's where it all started. Yeah. So we had a pub at home. It was, well, we have Fahy's pub. It was White's pub at the time, my grandfather's pub. And all the musicians used to cycle, Padre O'Loughlin, the whole lot, used to come from Clare over to White's pub. And there used to be an awful lot of music sessions there. So that's probably where all the music started. Yeah.
Wow. And so do you remember lots as a small kid? Like?
Absolutely. I do indeed. I remember a lot of the sessions I remembered now in our pub were when I was in my teens, especially. And Dad was a part-time farmer and he would be baling the hay. And the next thing is somebody blow the horn, the car horn going along the road. And it might be Michael Rafferty. Mike Rafferty from, who lives in New York, and he's from Ballinakil, and his daughter is Mary, and we'd have Joni Madden, and the dad is Joe, and he's from Portumna, which is only 9 miles from us in Ballinakil. So it would always be around the early August, and they'd be over for the flagpoles in wherever they were going to be, the All-Ireland flagpoles. So they'd end up coming to Ballinakil, coming to Portumna, and the sessions we used to have in our pub for about 2 weeks before the flag was... They were mighty altogether. They were great. Wow. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that was good fun.
Sounds like a happy childhood.
It was a great childhood. It really was, yeah. Lots of music and, yeah, great.
Sun always shining.
Well, I won't say that. Not when, unless you had to practice. Just like, you know, you'd be playing the tunes and then Eggy would come in to listen to the tunes before I played them in a flare. And, you know, it would put a bit of pressure on you now, to be quite honest with you. You know, yeah.
Okay. Well, did you know as a kid the regard that she was held in then?
I kind of did, to be honest with you, yeah, because we used to play in a session when I was younger or whatever in Chocnafela, in Whitegate and in Gort and in the West Park Hotel. And she used to play, and herself and my mam used to play together. And they were so in unison. Actually, there was a CD brought out recently of Eggy's music and by her grandson Michael Harrison, and all the music was collected on that, and there's one or two tunes for Mam and herself play together, and it's so close, it's gorgeous actually, it's really really nice. Yeah,
fiddle as well.
Two fiddles, like, very closely played together. Like, yeah, like, yeah, they're a very similar style. Yeah. And they played a bit with the Tulla Band as well. They used to, yeah, Eggy was in the Tulla Band and Mam used to go up as well and play. Yeah.
Brilliant.
So there's a lot of music
going on. So an awful lot of Cayley bands
now. Yes.
I'm famously completely averse to Cayley bands, but yeah. I just only because I'm that kind of daft, rebellious banjo player that, you know, just...
You don't want to conform.
No. And I can almost hear Gillian, my wife, she's not even in the house, but she just raised her eyes. Somewhere to go, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I couldn't cope with playing the tune the same as everybody else.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
Talk to me a little bit, convince me.
Oh, I tell you, well, I suppose about me playing the Cayley band, is it?
Cayley bands in general.
Cayley bands, well, honest to God, I have to say the lift that they give to the music, you have to say, if that doesn't get to you, of course it does. It has to. You know, if there's a lift and if it's so well played. And I think if you, you know, the key changes and the tempo that you play and if and the mix of instruments, I don't know, it's a great buzz. We had a great time at the Temple House Cayley Band, I have to say. It was fantastic. Actually, it was very funny in ways. We had a great drummer called Mick the Drummer Gainer, and he used to bring his, it's only a little bit of a funny story now, he used to bring his camper van with them down to the Armada. And while we'd be maybe doing the first set or while we were tuning up, he'd go out and maybe he'd put down the kettle for the tea, and then maybe if it was a winter's night, he'd say, right, I better go out now and I'm going to boil the kettle for the hot water bottle when I'm going to bed when the gig is over. But he was the drummer in the band and he was just a great character. But I know, I just love playing the bands, I have to say.
And what age were you when you started kind of touring with the Cayley bands? Because there's a whole lifestyle associated with touring and crack and late nights and pubs and all of it.
Well, I suppose when we were very young, Mrs. Lyons put a band together, like the Ballinakil Junior Cayley Band under 11, and we won the All-Ireland at the time, which was a big deal for us, I suppose. And so I was playing in Cayley bands because of competition, really, I suppose, in the beginning. And then in the late 80s, Kieran Hanrahan and Jed decided, you know what, let's give this a go. So then we decided, let's get this Temple House band together. And we had the boards and the whole lot. It looked like kind of the old-timey kind of setup. And it was great. Yeah. And we toured We toured England. We toured, I think we went to Russia at one stage as well. We did a few different places like that, yeah. Moscow,
that,
I think, yeah.
That must have been mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Like, as a teenager, right?
Yeah. Oh, no, this is when I was a bit older. Yeah, in my 20s. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was good, though. Yeah.
But like, Moscow in the 80s and the 90s, like, that was a huge...
Yeah.
It was a huge affair to go through,
yeah,
right?
It was great to head off, yeah, and travel. And I suppose from playing with music at home in my teens, and our dad bringing us off to England on that tour, that started it. But then we joined a group called Kyotor in Mailaka, and it was run by Tomás Mannion in Mailaka. He's a great footballer, actually. He was a great Galway footballer and a great musician. And he put music, song and dance together. And like, he organised a worldwide tour with FX Machine. When you think about it, we did Singapore, Australia, Hawaii and the States, like over a 4-week period in the month of, I think it was March, on 3 different occasions. And it was absolutely brilliant. This was when I was in college, and it was brilliant. It was great.
So many musicians play, right, and they love it, and they play sessions, and they play in ceilidh bands,
yeah,
and they go to flas, but mm-hmm. they don't try to make a living from it, or try to even, you know, the idea of touring something to most musicians, I think, is a very alien concept.
Yeah.
So, like, who or what was the driver behind this kind of, you know, push to bring it to an audience?
Well, this was probably, I mean, to be honest with you, it wasn't a professional outfit, really. Do you know what I mean? We went and we enjoyed ourselves. We got to see a lot of the world at the time, and it was a great taster for us. And I was teaching, and then I decided, oh, I want to take a break, so took a career break, and we did join. We formed Real Time, and then we decided to go professional with the music and toured a lot in the States then, and all of that.
That was after Riverdance, though.
That was before Riverdance, yeah.
So Real Time, whenabouts did that?
Okay, Real Time was the early 90s.
And who was in Real
I'm
Time?
I'm 190, I'm only joking.
You love yourself sometimes. So who was in Real Time?
Okay, so Eilidh Sheehan, box player,
yep,
from Clohan, County Offaly. Benny Hayes, who's from Pertumna. And Chris, my husband,
yeah,
on the guitar, yeah. And Jimmy Higgins actually used to tour with us quite a bit as
That's
well.
Right,
and
yeah.
Yvonne, my sister, used to come in every so often as well. She plays percussion as well. So it was great.
Yeah. How many albums did you do?
We did 2 albums, yeah. So we had Eilidh actually on the first album. And then it just happened that Riverdance actually happened. So then we had Luke Daniels on the accordion for one of the albums. And we also had Alan Kelly who toured with us. So it was great. We had a great time. I suppose what happened was we had our first album recorded. We had it toured. Then Riverdance happened. And I ended up playing in the European Riverdance gig, and Eilidh actually was in the American Riverdance gig. So then Real Time was kind of split, I suppose. Naturally it happened, there was a natural split. But in fairness to the Riverdance company, they actually, anytime we wanted to tour, I was allowed to go, and there was no problem with that. So Luke Daniels joined and Alan Kelly joined on tours as well. So it worked out fine. It was great.
So all fabulous musicians.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. Actually, we were lucky to have all of those musicians playing with us. Yeah.
So what was Riverdance like?
Riverdance was absolutely amazing. I remember walking in the woods in Montbéliard when I got the call. I just remember it was, are you interested in joining Riverdance? Because I remember we all remember certain times in your life. So we all know where we were, I think, when the Interval Act happened in Riverdance. You know what I mean? It was so amazing. And I remember I was in Salt Hill at the same time. The hair was just standing on your head. And you're kind of going, this is unbelievable. And I was walking the wood in Montpellier, and I just got a phone call and said, because we were living there at the time, and just say, would I be interested in joining Riverdance? So I was over the moon, and I had a few days to learn the music. And I'm not a very quick sight reader now, to be quite honest with you, but there was a fantastic lady that plays the fiddle. Her name was Patricia Kelly, Patricia Gleeson. Her marriage name was Patricia Kelly. And she's a beautiful fiddle player, classical and trad. And she helped me actually read through the music as fast as I could. So I learned it in about 4 days because I was so determined. I really enjoyed, you know, the music. So I went over to Hammersmith and I was there for 9 months. Because the great thing was at the time with Riverdance, you were in a place for a long stint. Do you know what I mean? So because basically the first company was called the Liffey Company. OK, so the Liffey Company were in Hammersmith, and then Eileen Ivers was the lead fiddle player, and then they moved to America, to Broadway. They went to their Radio City or whatever. So then they decided to start up the second Riverdance group, and the second one were Europe, Asia, Australia, and that was our one. So we started in London, in Hammersmith, and we were there for 9 months, and then we toured Europe, then we went to Australia, New Zealand. It was amazing. It was a fantastic time.
Was it tough in any way?
I suppose the travelling can be tough, but I really, really enjoyed it because you were going to so many different cities. Oh, we got to Japan as well. Yeah, we went to so many different cities. I bought the Lonely Planet guide for probably the first year and a half, and I went to see every old town of every city I was in. But then after that, you kind of go, I can't be doing this all the time.
Enough sightseeing.
But it was great. But I mean, the advantage was we were so many weeks in each place. You know, we were at least 2 weeks in every city in Germany. We toured Germany for about a year, you know. Now, you did have your summers off a few weeks and you had your Christmas off. And we went to Japan and we did 4 of the major cities and you were 2 weeks in every one of them. So you got to see each place really well. And when we were in New Zealand, we had apartments. So we were there for 3 months. So you were able to set up home, get rid of all the hotel paraphernalia, get out the candles and get out the nice bits and pieces and you know, make home of it. So it was great.
This is dream touring.
It was dream touring now, in fairness. It actually was.
Wow. Yeah. And it must have been amazing being that initial rush of Riverdance as well.
Yeah,
because it was so huge.
And it was we were the first, I suppose, the audiences saw Riverdance for the first time when we did go to Germany and Japan and Australia and New Zealand, you know, So it was an amazing time.
Mm. Were you married at that time?
I was, yeah. I was married at that time.
Did Chris go with you?
He did, He was, he did. He came as well, yeah. And actually, Dara was born probably mid-Riverdance as well, so...
That was when you got done with all the sightseeing.
No comment. But the great thing was, the show actually, I took 6 months off and the show started back in Belfast, and then it was in England and Scotland for about 6 months. So we had the car and we had the whole thing. And in fairness, we had everything, the whole setup. And in fairness, Riverdance were very fair, with accommodation and stuff. So then Dara was with us on the road for about another 2 years after that. So it was lovely. And you were never stuck for a babysitter. And Irish dancers make the best babysitters.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Wow.
So, you know... So it was a great time.
That was a wonderful experience because that's a lot of very close family time as well at his young age, because you're only working in the evening.
Absolutely.
Right?
Only working in the evening time. Yeah. Absolutely. You're there absolutely all day and you're only gone then from 6 or whatever for rehearsals.
You wouldn't have got that teaching in the regular
absolutely.
Job.
Yeah, no.
For that sustained at the time. Yeah.
So it actually worked out really, really well. Yeah,
that's
it did.
Amazing. Yeah. So when did that come to an end then? Was that your decision? Or?
Yes. Yeah, 2003. 2003, because Dara was getting older, I suppose, and we had to, we decided then to set up home. So it actually all worked out well. And of course, we didn't stay quiet for too long because we decided then to set up Tread in the Prom in Galway because we just like being at home. Well, no, I suppose during all that time, I was working with the Chieftains as well.
just toss that in there.
I know. No. Yeah. Yeah. And like, as I say, Riverdance were very fair because, you know, there were a few tours of real time that we did for a while in the early Riverdance days. And then I was asked to do some tours with the Chieftains, and that was such a brilliant opportunity. And the great thing was then there were some amazing fiddle players that, you know, that played, you know, and I went off or whatever, do you know what I mean? So it was brilliant. Yeah,
yeah.
It was good, yeah.
Do you think real time would have gone full time, big time? It's a big if, but would you have liked that?
Oh, well, sure. I enjoyed touring whatever way it went. Yeah, you know, we were doing really, really well in the States. You know what I mean? We actually were, and we were having a great time, and we were, I suppose, building up the fan base as well. And you know, it's got some great reviews from the albums that we recorded. Yeah, I suppose if you know, who knows? What do you think?
Are you going to put the band back together?
What?
Did you ever think about putting it back together?
We did, you know, because we're probably celebrating some anniversaries now at this stage, in fairness. You know, yeah. But it was a good time, you know.
And the other project then was Furry Village, right?
That's right.
Which I thought was an amazing name.
Yeah, isn't it a mad name?
It's the greatest name.
Yeah, Ger and Terry put that together. And my two mad brothers, yeah. So Ger and Terry formed that in the late 90s, I think it was, yeah. And... playing in the Keys. The Keys seemed to be the home of Furry Village, really, you know what I mean? So it was great, like rock, tread or whatever you want to call it. And we had a song in the top 10, the She Moves to the Fair, that went really well for us at the time. And But then Ger was asked to join Lord of the Dance. So when I went to Riverdance, he went to Lord of the Dance. So Furry Village then kind of was kind of calmed for a little while. But we have actually resurrected it in the last 2 months. So we're back. We did a few gigs there lately in the Keys.
So with the depth of kind of musical tradition that you came from with Aggie White and your mom, was there any pushback in any fashion to, it's kind of commercializing the music with real time, but then even the Furry Village, which is like pretty far outside of strict tradition.
Yeah.
Were there any raised eyebrows anywhere or everywhere?
Well, I suppose it depends where you go, in fairness.
Only if you're looking for them, maybe.
Yeah, well, my mum and dad, actually, they always came to the gigs in the Keys and they loved them, even though like it was really noisy and the whole lot. But they actually really, really enjoyed it. Do you know what I mean? Well, I suppose we had done the Flares and we had done all of that. And Ger was the composer, really, in the family. And Yvonne is composer now as well. But I suppose we were always experimenting with other types of music and stuff. I remember we won some competition, some Spotlight magazine for composing some song. And I don't know, Terry was playing the drums. And we were always trying to do something a little bit different, I suppose. But Ger, he composed a musical Tara. So that was another thing that he did. So everyone was trying to experiment with different music other than just pure trad. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah.
Very entrepreneurial family.
I suppose, maybe, yeah, yeah.
Not a maybe, like hugely.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I suppose, come back to Ger. He composed that in the 80s, the late 80s. And we were in the Thaibhach No More Than Yourself with the summer shows. We were there first with, Dickie Byrne had produced them and Patricia Ford, and then Ger wrote his own musical Tara. So we had that in the Thaibhach for a few weeks, and then we performed with the concert orchestra in Leisureland and in Dublin, and then we went over to the Luxor Theatre in Rotterdam. So that was, it was a Celtic musical. It was just before Riverdance and Lord of the Dance. He did all of that, you know. So I suppose we always tried different things, you know.
Yeah. Riverdance, Lord of the Dance, Chieftains. It's huge. It's an incredible CV.
Great. Well, the Chieftain, yeah, that was all a great time. Yeah.
Did Ger have a winch installed in the Keys so that he could go up and down playing the pipes?
He did.
He did.
Well, or else it was already there. I can't remember, because one of the tunes that I have on that CD that I recorded years ago, it's called The Flying Piper, because he literally would get the harness and, yeah, he had a winch and he would fly. Is it a wench or winch? Winch.
No, a wench is a different.
I don't know. Yeah. That's now I know.
He may have had wenches. I don't know. But he had a winch.
And he used to fly over the audience or whatever and play over the audience all the time. It was so funny. It was great. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
But that's what I mean about like crazy entrepreneurial spirit, because who would think to do something like that?
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
And not held back by.
No. No, I mean, he always loved trying out stuff like that, definitely, yeah, yeah.
You know, the whole dancing thing in Riverdance?
Yeah.
Was that alien to you? Was that something you had to learn how to do?
I danced from when I was three. I used to come into Mairead Flaherty in Galway in the Cladda, and I danced an awful lot when I was young. So I suppose I went to all the feshes. My mum used to bring me in from Ballinakil 3 times a week, you know, driving in to Galway, and I danced until I was about maybe 9 or 10. Well, I always danced, but I stopped feshes when I was about 9 or 10 years of age, because really you couldn't just do all the flares and the feshes. It was just hard to do both together. Do you know what I mean? So, but I love dancing. Yeah, yeah.
So and a natural performer, so you had no problem skipping across the stage.
Skipping
and
across the stage, yeah, exactly.
Did you have to learn all? I mean, not learn how to do it, but
no, like, I kind of. It's okay. I didn't mind doing that.
You were shooing, no bother at all.
No, I enjoy that, actually, I enjoy that, yeah. And, like, you know, Riverdance, like, it is, it's challenging. I mean, it's live. All the music is live. And you're, like, we always had fantastic sound checks. And every time we moved from venue to venue, you'd rehearse all your music. And, yeah, it was very well organised. Mm. Yeah.
So now you're doing Trad on the Prom in Galway.
Yeah, yeah, we're doing Trad on the Prom in Galway. This is our, I think it's our 19th year or something like that, yeah, yeah. We started in Salt Hill Hotel, and then we moved to the Galway Bay Hotel, and now we're in Leisureland, so we're moving.
So for those that have absolutely no idea what that is, just fill me in on that.
Well, I suppose it's a show of Irish music, song and dance. I suppose at one stage people thought it was just mainly for tourists, but it's just good old-fashioned trad music and singing and fabulous dancing, and the dancers are like world class. One of Claire Graney has won the world 6 times around. We have loads of different world champion dancers in it. We've our two boy, our young fella Dara, and his friend Ronan O'Connell from Corja. So they're dancing with us at the moment. So and Cathal Keeney. The great thing about it is the Hessian School of Dancing in Galway have produced amazing dancers, and they're not all free at certain times of the summer. So like at the moment, it's Dara and Ronan are there, and we have another amazing dancer from Headford, a world champion called Evan O'Brien. And then if one of them has to take off a night, we have Cathal Keeney, who is another world champion, and he's actually lead of Lord of the Dance at the moment. I don't mean to be confusing you now or anything. And he's in the next few weeks. So it's amazing that it just all evolves, and there's, you know, there's...
It's an embarrassment of riches.
Well, they're brilliant. I have to say, they're amazing dancers. Yeah. And then we have Pádraig Rinn on the concertina, and we've had Francis Cunningham up, Benimer, Cochran. We've loads of people, and Colm Henry on keyboard, who was... worked with Westlife, and Tommy Fleming, he plays with him, and then Yvonne and Jaron. Oh, yeah, it's good, Chris.
Yeah,
it's all good. Yeah, and Mark Roberts sings. We have different vocalists coming in different times. We have, you know, Don Stiff's coming in, I think. So it varies. You might come in yourself some night and play.
For sure.
Brilliant.
And you love it.
Yeah, I do. Really, really enjoy it.
Yeah,
it's true. It's great.
Did you ever burn out from the whole, from the business of it, from the go of it?
Well, I think, I suppose there was a time in Riverdance that, when we were touring in Germany, and I had to take about 2 weeks off. I was just actually what happened was I went teaching music and it was very, very intense, I remember. And I went straight back into Riverdance again for about a week or two. And then I decided I needed to take a week or two off just to take a bit of a break. And
a week or two? It's like a year. What? A month. Let's take a week off. Imagine. It's on my holidays.
Yeah, that was it. I know, it's very... You see, in fairness, your days were free all the time at Riverdance. You could actually just take it easy. Yeah. Sometimes the main thing of your day was, did you find the laundrette? Honest to God. Do you know what I mean? What did you do today? Well, I did the washing and went for a lovely coffee shop there. You know what I mean? That was it, really.
Yeah.
But that's good too, you know.
Yeah. Touring can be wonderful if you do it right, isn't that it?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I suppose your fear, no more than my own, was just to get the precious instrument on the plane. And once you have that on the plane, you don't care.
Well, that's a different deal in Europe than it is in America. Because in America, it's they're just bigger planes.
So there's no problem.
Yeah, Ryanair, of course, famously. You have to find lots of different workarounds, yeah?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, I've always decided, anyway, if there's ever a problem, they can take the case and I'll just put it into a brown paper bag or something, and that's it, the fiddle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And on to the next generation, your son Dara has a very famous dance group called Corja.
They have, yeah. I mean, and that all happened over COVID, I suppose, and lockdown. And there, a bunch of friends that would meet at world competitions or whatever, they used to meet at Fesh's all of the time. So unfortunately, their leaving cert was cancelled. Well, it was fortunately, you know, I mean, they just didn't get to do it. So then they decided, one of Dara's friends, Francis, his dad had unfortunately passed away from cancer, and he decided to do a step a day. And this was in the month of May. So he was down in Furbo and Spittle doing a step a day and putting it up on Facebook. So then he asked Dara and Ronan, the other two boys, would they just go and do this? They said, sure, we're not studying, we might as well. So off they went. And then it just happened that a few of them got together and... they brought in 3 more lads. Oh, yeah, sorry. They did the tune Banjo Beats.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it over in Barna Woods. And I remember Dara saying to me in the car, ma'am, there's something really strange happening on the internet or whatever. This thing is going really viral. So I think since the last few weeks, they've got about 90 million views on that, on TikTok or whatever it is.
Yeah,
so that's how it all blew up, you know. And then... because everything was closed down, Brian, one of the dancers, Brian Culligan from Clare, his uncle had a beautiful house down on the cliffs of Moher in Clahan. So they went down there for 3 months, and they, if they had college in the morning, they'd do that in the morning, and then they danced all evening. And they had, there was a St. Patrick's Day celebration one of the years there, and they had the Cliffs of Moher to themselves. There were no buses, there were no bus tours. So they actually got to do Good Morning America and Good Morning Britain on St. Patrick's Day, and no buses. It was brilliant. Unbelievable. Like, where would you get that? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Any notion of making a show out of it?
Hmm?
Could they?
They could be tempted, I tell you. Yeah, they're thinking about that now, to be quite honest with you, yeah.
Because they would have a lot of experience within their immediate family to draw on, right?
Yeah. they have, really. Yeah, they have. And they have great ideas. You know, they're always coming up with ideas and dances and stuff. Yeah. So they've done a lot of traveling. Yeah.
Do you practice?
Do you practice?
I do now.
Do you? Yeah.
Because I'm at home.
Yeah. I do now and again now too, because kind of have to. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, sometimes if somebody said, like if somebody said to me now, you have to play for set dancers. I mean, to get the speed back into your fingers again, you know, you have to practice and get up to speed. But the great thing is there are so many sessions now in Galway. I enjoy going and playing the few tunes. And it's a great warm up for if you're doing a performance or whatever somewhere. It's brilliant.
Yeah, there's nothing like playing live in a session.
Oh, yeah. And also so that you can think of other tunes and what are we going to play next. And so that, you know, because to think of a set of tunes sometimes it can be, you know, you have to think twice sometimes. Yeah.
That's the hardest thing when you've been playing a set of music. Yeah. Like with a band or with River Dance or with the show. Yeah. And then you go to a session and someone says, start up a set of tunes. And you're like, I know them all, but I can't think of any of them.
Yeah, exactly. And you don't know what they've played already. So you just...
That's what I'm kind of working on at the moment. Yeah. Is trying to access that library of tunes in my head and sort them all out. Because I play the first part of one and the second part of another.
I know, yeah.
And
then
the first part of a different one.
Right, okay. So it sounds good though.
And get very confused. Do you struggle in any fashion? You seem like an incredibly confident person. Do you struggle in any fashion with like, God, that was a terrible gig, or I played really badly tonight, or have I still got it, or any of those kind of things?
Well, I mean, it can happen, obviously. Do you know what I mean? Loads of Eskimo oil for the fingers, obviously, to try and keep them going. Yeah, I mean, I suppose it can happen that... As I say, one can get nervous every so often when you're doing, you know, but I mean, I suppose you surround yourself with wonderful musicians and I suppose if you put the work in, it's all right. You just have to keep going.
Mm.
Head down.
And you're a radio personality now as well.
No.
Local radio. Look at Galway Bay FM. We'll give them a shout out.
Well, I'm so delighted that they have, you know, they've decided to put on Treading the Bay on Galway Bay FM because really, to be honest with you, There's never enough music, enough trad music on any of the radio stations, especially, you know, and it's great now the Galway Bay FM have two trad programmes. So, as I said, there's loads of room for more if anybody wants to do them. Oh, yeah, I think it's great.
Yeah.
You know, I'm enjoying it. Okay, my weakness is my technical side of things. I wouldn't be great. Absolutely not. But I'm enjoying finding music and chatting to people and getting the tunes together. It's making me think more about music as well. So I'm really enjoying doing the show. Yeah.
Is it a lot of work?
Oh,
preparing.
Yes. In the beginning, it took me about 6 hours to put a show together. Honest to God, because I'd be listening to the different CDs and I'd go, oh, I have to do a jig now. I have to do a reel there. Oh no, there's too many fiddle players. And that was me actually putting on too many fiddle players. I went, no, I have to put in banjo box. You know, and you never think of things like that. But yeah. But now I'm getting better at that now.
Yeah. And do you write out a script or do you wing it as I'm winging it right now?
I wrote out a script, to be quite honest with you, in the beginning.
Yeah.
And now I'm kind of winging it, which is great. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And I get a great kick out of it when it actually works.
Any regrets? Anything that you wish you did more of or you did too much of? Or was there any opportunities that you missed out on that you wish you had got to do?
I don't know. I don't know. I think I'm kind of happy enough on this. I think. Well, a regret that I haven't got my blooming next album. I'm very slow at recording, to be quite honest with you. At the moment now, myself and Patsy Broderick are recording some music and I'm looking forward to getting that finished. And I have started my own album, but I mean, I've started it like 2 years ago. So I'm not quick enough at getting it all down and just settling on one project and doing it. So I need to get that done this year.
So how many solo albums have you done?
I've only the one. I've one.
In Hawaii,
well, I kind of have two, but it's really one of them was brought out when we were in New Zealand. But this one here, yeah.
So when was that?
Oh, that was a good few years ago. Time for another one.
There's no judgment. I did one in the year 2000, which is...
Yeah, it was 2000, I think.
Frighteningly, that's 23 years ago.
Yeah, well, mine was around the same time, I think, 2000 as well. Yeah. But it's...
But you have to have something to say. That's what I feel about doing a solo album.
Yeah.
And, you know, having done 10 years with the band and having a lot to say as part of a group, I don't have anything to say at the moment. And I'm waiting for that kind of rush to come in.
Yes,
and go,
I know. Yeah.
I don't want to do it just for the sake of cranking something out.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. And I mean, the time has to be right and, you know, you have to feel good about the way you're playing and all of that. Yeah.
Yeah. And now as well, because, of course, you know, recorded music has there's a valueless aspect to it, which is that if you go and spend 20 grand on an album, you know, you're not getting it back.
Definitely not.
You know?
And I mean, sometimes the live recording of a few people sitting together in the room is as good as spending 20 grand, as you say, on an album, or just doing a really good gig and just recording it and putting it out there for people just to have, you know. You know.
Any musical dreams, plans for the future? Or are you just very content to do another 19 years of... round it up to 20.
Well, we might round it to 20. We'll see then. I know. I just want to continue playing music. Because I just love it. You know, I just keep going as long as we can. I think it's really good for the... It's in the bones. So what can you do? You just have to keep going.
Do you ever think about like retirement in any fashion? How would that look? I'm not trying to make it sound as a musician or anything, but just in generally, like in life.
Well, I'm still teaching.
Yeah.
I'm job sharing at the moment. But yeah, I would be thinking about just spending more time playing music, really. Yeah. Because, you see, Darren now has, he's finished, he's one more year to go and in college. And I would think probably we might just head off again and just keep playing tunes, you know, because that's when we really got off the road, really.
Yeah.
Was because Dara was going back to school, you know. And I was with the Chieftains for I don't know how many years it was. I did the tours with them and really enjoyed it. But then when Dara was 7 or 8, I just decided I need to stay home. The tours, I remember we were doing a February tour, maybe 3 weeks long, and then there was a March tour, which was 3, but there was a break in the middle. But then the tours were getting a little bit longer, and I just felt it probably wasn't... It probably wouldn't be fair, do you know what I mean, to be away and there or going to school, whatever. But I'd like to get back on, do that again, I think.
You'd like to go back travelling, yeah?
I don't know. We'll see. A little bit, maybe.
Yeah. You'd have the freedom to do it, of course.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Even just for the pleasure of it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I mean, you know, just for the pleasure, just to head off and play tunes when you want to.
Have you been drawn to any other musical genres to play? Or to merge?
Merge. Well, I've liked the bluegrass music, because we even play some of that now in the show. And I suppose when we were over in the States, I used to love heading down to was it North Carolina, you know, meeting all the musicians there for all the sessions. And then Jeff White, who was with the Chieftains, he introduced me to a lot of musicians in Nashville. And I remember going to the Bluebird Cafe and playing with the Time Jumpers.
Yeah,
that was great, Craig.
Oh.
Yeah.
Jeff, that plays the piano accordion, is a great friend of mine.
Yeah, that, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And I just love all that music, yeah.
They're amazing.
Yeah, they're brilliant.
Oh, my God, yeah.
They're unbelievable. I thought I was in heaven when I was over there.
Yeah, so I sat in the Station Inn.
That's the one, the Station Inn. Did I say Bluebird? I mean,
Bluebird. Well, that's the famous. I've never been to the Bluebird.
The Station Inn is where I was. Sorry, it wasn't the Bluebird, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
On the Monday night.
On the Monday night.
Yeah, that's
so
it.
So we played before them.
Oh, brilliant.
And then they were on stage. Yeah. I think we might have played maybe at halftime. This was with Paul Brock and Manus McGuire. Mighty. So a good few years ago.
Yeah.
And this guy came in and sat beside us, and he was dressed like a cowboy with the big hat and the whole lot. And he bought some peanuts and he sat down beside me and he turned a howdy. You know, and I was like, you know, and so the Irish part of me was like, who's this fella like, dressed like a cowboy, right? And then maybe it was Vince Gill or whatever was on the mic that night, and he goes, is Ranger Doug in the house? And this guy was Ranger Doug, and he got up, and he's this famous yodeler.
Oh, wow.
So he's singing the little yodel, and I was like, oh my God. It was just sitting there a minute ago. It's like multiple Grammys, and you know.
That's amazing.
As easy going as you can get. So, what a great town.
Oh, amazing place, as I say. I remember Jeff bringing me to some amazing music, fiddle music shops. I'm sure I was in heaven then when I was there, you know.
Well, tell me about your fiddle.
My fiddle is 1870. It's a German fiddle, and I was in Dublin a few years ago, in the 80s, I'm sure it was, shopping or whatever. And I met a friend of mine and she said, will you play a Cayley tonight? And I said, oh, I've no fiddle with me. So I went out to Kieran Crehan and I know him very well. I said, Kieran, would you give me a fiddle for the night? I said, I need a fiddle. I'm going to play a Cayley or whatever. So he gave me this gorgeous fiddle. He probably knew what he was doing because I just had to buy it and I just loved it. Yeah. So I'm still playing that fiddle.
I just loan you this priceless fiddle. What? Knowing that you're going to buy it.
And it was a lovely fiddle. And I have Aggie's fiddle as well, so I play that at home as well. Now I have more than two fiddles, in fairness. I think no more than yourself, loads of instruments.
Dust collectors.
I purchased one there last year as well, another fiddle, but I have a weakness for fiddles. It's like somebody having, you know, a weakness for banjos or whatever.
Banjo collection is a thing,
is it? Yeah,
for people that don't play the banjo at all.
Okay.
They collect vast numbers of banjos.
All right, okay.
And Epiphones at the moment.
okay.
are really, really sought after. So okay. I have one Epiphone which I got when I was 11.
Okay, all right, okay.
But yeah, I'm still looking for the perfect banjo.
Okay.
Maybe it's out there, I don't know.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Maureen, it's been a delight. to chat with you.
Well, I'm delighted. Thanks a million.
You talk very fast. I'll have to put captions for the Americans.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
Not at all. I'm only joking.
Did I? Oh, God.
No.
Okay.
It's brilliant. It's been wonderful.
Thanks a million.
And thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks ever so much, Enda. Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.